I'm reading to you from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war. Yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world maketh himself an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He giveth more grace. God is the fountain of grace. From heaven's throne flows the unmerited gift of grace. We are the recipients of God's amazing grace. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 says, the God of all grace. Titus 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Paul writes in Ephesians 1 and verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And verse 7, he mentions the riches of his grace. How rich is the grace of God? We are the benefactors of God's grace. We have received God's grace. We are who we are, what we are, because of God's grace. We can serve because of God's grace. We can glorify God because of His grace. God is a gracious God, and that grace He has bestowed upon the human family. He giveth more grace. We live in the dispensation of grace. Ephesians 3 and verse 2, Paul wrote, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward. Paul says that the grace of God had been committed unto him. The dispensation of grace, the time of grace, had been delivered unto the apostle, and that grace he made known unto the Ephesian church. Those in Ephesus had received God's grace. They were the church of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the grace of God. They were part of that eternal purpose that God had through Christ Jesus, that in this time God would bestow His grace upon the family of humanity. At Romans chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. The apostle explains to the Roman Christians that the law had passed. The law had been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The law had been taken out of the way, and now they lived, rather than under the law, under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace came because of sin. We needed grace because we were sinners. God bestowed His grace upon us because we had transgressed His law, rebelled against His will, violated His ordinances and His statutes. At Romans 5, 20 and 21, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The law was given because of offenses. God had placed a standard for man by which he was to live and conduct his life. But man refused to follow that standard. He refused to obey that law. He went his own way and did his own thing. And so God delivered the law. But the law now has been taken out of the way through the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross, and grace abounds. Grace did much more abound. Grace had replaced the law because of sin. We had offended God, and therefore He bestowed upon us His favor, His grace, so that grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The grace of God was Jesus Christ, and the offering for sin was by grace. Because of sin, Jesus was offered upon the cross. Hebrews 2 and verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." Jesus was born into the world of the Virgin Mary, lived a life of absolute perfection in obedience to the will and purpose of his heavenly Father, and then died that awful, humiliating, excruciating, painful death of the cross because of sin. He tasted death for every man by the grace of God. Because of God's grace, Jesus was allowed to suffer the death that he did, offer himself in the manner which he did, because we had violated the will of God. Jesus Christ was the offering of sin by the grace, by the favor, by the merit of the Heavenly Father. We are saved by grace. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Grace is God's great gift to humanity. Grace allows us to stand in the favor of God. Grace allows us to call upon God. Grace allows us to know God. Lost in sin, separated from God, saved by grace. Grace is the act of God that allowed humanity to be saved. We are forgiven of sin by grace. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, "In whom, in the Lord Jesus Christ, all spiritual blessings are in Christ." Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Through Jesus Christ, the grace of God was bestowed. And one of those spiritual blessings that Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 is forgiveness, redemption. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." God is rich in grace, and that grace allowed Christ to offer Himself upon the cross so that we might be redeemed from sin and forgiven of sin. The grace of God covered our transgressions. The grace of God removed from the memory of God all of our offenses and stubbornness and violations and filthiness and wickedness. We are saved, we are redeemed, we are forgiven by grace. We are justified by grace. To be justified means that we are in the favor of God. We have been made just. Sin makes us unjust, but grace allows us to be just. Sin opens the door of God's favor, or grace opens the door of God's favor. Titus 3 and verse 7, "That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We are justified by the grace of God. We are allowed, permitted to stand in the favor of God because of the grace of God. We are heirs of life by grace. Romans 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin brought death. Sin reigned unto death. Grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life. The great blessing of grace is the offer of eternal life, the hope of eternal life. Grace gives us the assurance, the confidence, the certainty of eternal life. In the last part of that passage in Titus 3 and verse 7, where we are justified by His grace, in being justified, we have been made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We do not live hopeless lives. We do not live futile existence, but rather we live in hope of eternal life made possible by the grace of God. God giveth more grace. God gives grace. Grace is a gift that is offered, that can be accepted, that must be obtained. Verse 6 says, He giveth more grace in James chapter 4. We need more grace. We needed grace to come into the favor of God. We needed grace to be saved, justified, redeemed, forgiven, become heirs. But as we live as the heirs of God, as we live as justified, redeemed, forgiven, saved people, we need more grace. Our life constantly needs grace. I want to offer you these reasons. We need more grace because of the world in which we live. We live in a sinful, evil world. In Galatians 1 and verse 4, the Scripture says concerning Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. The will of God, who is our Father, was that we might be delivered from this present evil world. We live in the world. We walk in the world. But we must not allow the world to live in us. We have been delivered from the world. We live in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the apostle identifies the world as a place of evil. Evil exists because, Ephesians 2 and verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The world is evil because of the presence of Satan. Satan is identified as the prince of the power of the air. The Bible pays great respect to Satan. God understands the wiles and the schemes of the devil. God knows the power that Satan can bring upon the human heart. The Apostle Paul tells the Ephesian Christians that there was a time in your life, your past life, in which you walked according to the course of this world, you walked according to the power of the prince of the power of the air. Satan has power. This is his domain. He walks to and fro in the earth, causing the heart of man to become evil, turning man away from God, bringing man into rebellion of God. Why do we need the grace of God? Because we live in an evil world. We live in a place, an environment where Satan walks to and fro. We live in a world where sin abounds. 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John repeats the philosophy of James in chapter 4. You become a friend of the world, then you become an enemy of God. You become a friend of the world, then you become spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. You cannot serve God and you cannot serve the world. Why do we need more grace? Because of the world and the drawing power, the attraction that the world can offer unto us. The things that the world uses to entice us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Were these not the schemes that Satan used in the Garden of Eden in the very beginning? When he presented to Eve the beauty of the tree, the tasteful fruit, the fact that she could, or the truth, the enticement that she could become as wise as God. He offered unto her the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And those devices continue to deceive the hearts of humanity and draw multitudes upon multitudes away from God into the service of Satan. We need more grace because of the world in which we live. We need more grace because of the lust that wars in our members. In James 4, verses 1 through 3, the writer says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" Why do we have wars and fightings? Why do we have seditions? Why do we have divisions, even in religion? Why do church members become divided and separated one from another? Why are there arguments among the people of God? Why are there disagreements among the disciples of Christ? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? James says the cause of all war and division and sedition and separation and disagreement is the lust of our members. And then he says, we kill, we desire to have, we cannot obtain, we fight and war and we have not. Why? Because we ask amiss, and we ask and receive not, because we ask amiss. For what purpose do we ask? Why do our prayers go amiss? Because we desire to consume it upon our own lust. We pray not for the will of God to be done in our life, but we seek the blessings and the favor of God because of what we desire, because of our lust that wars in our members. Oh, how much we need the grace of God that we might overcome the lust that wars in our members. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? James is telling us that we need grace to overcome the world in which we live. We need grace to overcome the lust that wars in our members. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Our flesh wars against the soul. Paul describes this spiritual battle in Romans chapter 7. He talks about the spirit of man willing to conform itself to the will of God. But the flesh wars against the spirit. The flesh seeks to fulfill its own desires, follow its own will. The spirit desires to follow God and do His will. Jesus said that we must watch and pray that we enter not into temptation, because the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. There is a constant battle between the lust of our flesh and the desire to do the will of God. To overcome that lust, to be victors in that war, we need more grace. We are dependent upon the grace of God so that we might overcome the flesh and so that we might serve God in the manner that He has prescribed and dictated. We need more grace to maintain our holy relationship with God. We live and abide in an unholy world. We are constantly bombarded with unholiness and ungodliness. We see it. We hear it. We are in the midst of it. The world desires to make us unholy. The world will stain our soul and blot our relationship with God. In order to maintain this holy relationship that God would have us to be with Him, we need His grace. In 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." God is holy. God is unstained. His character is unblemished. And His desire, His design for us is that we have His holiness. That we become as holy as He is holy. That we separate ourselves from the filthiness of the world. And we do not allow ourselves to be stained and blotted with the sins of human life. The one who has called us is holy. The God who has saved us is holy. The grace that has manifested itself unto us through Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Himself was holy. Lived in the world where you and I live. Faced the enemies that you and I face. Traveled through the valleys that you and I travel. And yet was holy and unstained and unblemished. God said, "You be holy as I am holy." In Revelation 5 and verse 8, we see that the song of the saved unto the throne of the Heavenly Father is to be, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." He giveth more grace. How amazing is the grace of God. The grace of God is without depth, without height, and without width. The grace of God reaches and stretches beyond and beyond. We have been blessed with God's grace, but we must have more grace. Daily, consistently, continually, we must depend, rely, and surrender ourselves to the grace of God. The grace that saves, redeems, forgives, justifies, and makes us heirs, that flows from the throne of heaven, must be our constant reminder. We need His grace because of the world in which we live, the lust that wars in our members, and to maintain our holy relationship with God. Each day, let us be reminded, He gives more grace. He is the God of grace. His favor, His love is bestowed upon us, rained down from the heavens above, flows into our heart and life that we might live and abide in a world of sin and evil, and yet walk with God and maintain a holy relationship with Him. His grace is offered through repentance, confession, and immersion in water. And the desire of heaven is that every individual will become a receiver of His amazing grace. As we stand, we offer the invitation of Jesus Christ. And if we can help you in any way, we desire to do so. If you would come as we stand and sing.